חוף חס מנחם רוב טוב שם פי דלת, הרב מוטי פיוס נשניתה.
Seeing as we're still in the holiday mode, it's the 1st of September, but still Sunday, still off, it's not yet quiet, Rosh Chodesh Elul. So I thought we'll discuss a little bit about holiday sha'alas, different sha'alas that came over the summer holidays, which are not only applicable to holidays, but applicable always. Different interesting sha'alas, topics that were raised, people had over the holidays. First thing to know is people go away on holiday. It's time to go away anyway. You're flying abroad, doesn't have to be as particular on a holiday. You come into interaction with many different types of people, all different colours and flavours. And sometimes you meet someone, as I did recently, told me I'm the first Jew he's ever met. So wow, pleased to meet you. The opportunity to make it Hashem when they impression you. Sometimes you've got a harder job because they've met other Yidden before. It's even harder to try and change their idea of what a Yid is. But you never know the lasting impression you leave as a Jew when it comes to, especially now with issues with Israel, and they look at you as a Jew and they put the two and two together. There's a big achrayas, and sometimes it's difficult. You know, they look at you and you want to just do what a Yid does sometimes, not always. I was actually in a place and I was emptying my stuff out of my car, and this guy came back and said, I hope you're not leaving your rubbish on the floor. I said, Hechateser, because I'm a Yid, you never leave my rubbish on the floor. But sometimes they have a bad impression, and that's the idea when you go, when you meet, come and interact with a guy. Some you walk in the airport and you see a guy and they see you. This is maybe their first impression of a Yid. You want to make sure it's good. And some always you want to come across is that you may stand to gain, you may. I was actually on holiday now, and there was a guy came past on an electric bike, one of his expensive electric bikes. And my son said to me, I want to have a go. I said, no problem, ask him. He said, can I have a go on your bike? He said, no, of course not, what do you think? I said, that's not how you do it. Next guy came along, another electric bike. I said to him, wow, this bike looks expensive. He said, yeah, £3,000. Wow, how do you afford it? How fast does it go? Unbelievable. You look like you're so fit, you don't even need an electric bike. He goes, yeah, I have. I ride hundreds of miles. I said, do you mind if my son sits on the bike? He goes, sure, you can have a go. So I said to him, anyway, you want to get what you want off the guy, there's a simple way around. Give him a bit of cover, because normally they don't get it. But the idea is you come into interaction with them, make sure that you leave off a good impression. Sometimes you go to places and they're a bit fed up, but you don't. You always make sure that it doesn't work like that. I was wondering, though, when I was talking to the guy, a simple shayla of loisachonim. Loisachonim is you can't overly praise them and make them feel good. You push in with them a free present. You have a pen. You don't need your pen. So you go up to someone here, do you want a pen? A kid on the plane, here's a free pen. No problem, we would love to get it. If it's a guy, you can't do it as a man, it's chinam. So if you stand to gain, then there's no problem. But if you don't stand to gain, you don't want to give stam something free, a freebie to a guy like that. Not only in physical, in an item, but in a compliment too. So, if you stand to gain, like you wanted to get an electric bike, then it could be okay, it's not like Sukhonim, there's an end here, I'm not just being nice to you. If you wouldn't have this electric bike, I wouldn't be saying a word to you. So then I stand to gain. But if you want to make a good Hashem, you say, wow, so good to see, such a nice person. Stam, to leave a good impression. How's that work with Lois Sukhonim? You want to make a good Hashem? So there is a fine line where you go overboard with your praise and compliments, or you start making kiddush Hashem. But you have to be careful, sometimes you go too far. It could be a shadow of Reis Chanim, I'm not saying it is. You've got to be aware. I actually left the house I was staying in, I told the guy, amazing house. And I realized to myself, if you keep going on like this, it could be a Reis Chanim. You want to make sure you leave a good impression. Next time a Yid comes, he'll think, wow, you're the Jews are nice people. But to go overboard, the story of the Brisker Rav, he was taking a taxi, and he asked someone, how much is the tip? I don't know, a tip's the tip. Because no, if I don't give a tip, it's chil Hashem. If I give too much, go lo yisachonim. I want to work out what the exact right tip to get it right. So you got to watch out with these things, not to cross the line. Either way, get it bang on in the middle, like everything in life, get the fine balance. Another interesting shayla, I was in a place one year, and there was stuff growing in the garden, fruits growing in the garden. Can you eat the fruits? What's the problem? So Chutz La'aretz, Trumas HaMa'ayis, you don't have a problem. There's one problem, Orla. parallel applies here too. If this tree is in its first 3 or 4 years, you got a problem eating the fruit. Now, how are you meant to know? A random tree growing, you don't know what, you don't know when, don't know who planted it, what happened to it. So, it was many years ago, I was on shul, and next to me was another person, and I said to him, what do you think? He told me, Pasha, it's like, got the Mishnah. Which means it's even got a din of daraisa. Sofik, orla, b'chus laret is okay. So it's a sofik. Partially you don't know. It's impossible to know when this tree was planted. Sofik, orla, b'chus laret, you can have the fruit. No problem. You can enjoy the fruit. So you come to a place, there's fruit's growing in the garden. You're not sure, it's impossible to know. If you can ask the owner, maybe it's Eshel and Ruri, maybe you can find out. But if you can't find out, especially if it's growing wild, no problem. These fruits are sofik. Orla is muta in b'chus laret. Then you come to a shayla with Bishul Akum, Pasakum. You're away on holiday. You've got, sometimes you have a guy who's cooking. And it goes much broader than that. It could be stamba catering. They've got goyim who are cooking in the kitchens. You have goyim at home cooking. So really the best is that the guy does all the stuff which is not directly connected to the food. He does the peeling and the washing and the cutting and the selecting. But when it comes to the actual cooking, it's best if the yid can be involved. I know certain caterers have this minhag, where the actual food, that means the pot, no goy comes near to it. I know a caterer here in town, that's their rule. The goy does the peeling, the cutting, the chopping, the clear, all that stuff. But putting in the pot, mixing the pot, all that's only by yid. It's a chumrah, but it's a good chumrah to do, because there are many rishonim hold that really bishul akum is a problem, even when there's intervention from a yid. The minute goy comes as a problem. We don't pass him like that. Halach lamais is okay. We'll just say in a minute what you meant to do. But the best is a chumrah to do is make sure it's all done by a Jew. I know we go to some people's kitchens and they say the goy comes in the kitchen. And like we said, they're cleaning, they're peeling. But the actual cooking is done only by a yid. However, that's a chumrah. Me'ika halacha. As long as the yid has proper intervention, puts the fruit on at the beginning, the goy can mix it, turn it higher, puts the flame on. The main things at the beginning of the work the yid does, that's okay. That's what Bishul Akum. Now, Pas Akum is no Shaykh, Pas is completely different. Pas is worse in a way, better in a way. So Pas is again, holiday people are out, they want to buy bread. So really, Mika Din, Pas Akum, the Ramon Paskins, the Pas Akum is not a problem with Ashkenazim. You can buy any bread, Pas Palta from a company, not a private person, no problem. We're Machmeh, but if a person's stuck and there's no bread, then you can buy from any company which you know is kosher. You're allowed to go and buy that bread. So now certain breads that have a hechsher on to know the ingredients are kosher. The only problem is they pass akum. Ashkenazim is mutar mekadin, especially when there's nothing else. However, people are very machmonet. I'm not sure why, but Api Kabbalah, the Arizal brings down to be very machmonet. And I'm not sure why, but people, the minigas be very machmonet. People go travel far, they bring bread, which is an amazing thing to do, because the Arishan will not like that. And the Choshva are the shitters. And Abi Kabbalah is better not. But Me'ika Din would be okay to buy this bread if there's nothing else where you are. You'll be allowed to. Yeah, so there are certain companies where they've been mivara the ingredients of kosher. You're right, you have to find out. Now this, like Hovis, Kingsmill, the certain ones, yeah, they have, they've already worked out that the ingredients are all okay. This is only by a palta. Palta means that someone who's baking commercially. A private person is a problem. So you got no bread and your neighbor, the guy brings you a bread, okay, it's impossible to know if it's kosher. But let's say you know it's kosher, you'd have a problem taking that bread, even when you're stuck. Because pas palabayas from a private person is always going to be a problem, even if you know it's kosher. The whole head of pas akum is specifically by a commercialized bakery or something like that, you'd be allowed to rely on that to pas akum.
Bring it home.
Sorry?
Bring it home.
To your house? That's interesting, Shaila. Why haven't you got leftover bread? And you come back to Manchester, now you're in a place that there's bread in the shop now. So what's going on? You're eating bread, so that, they're already on the page, then it's kidding, say that's okay, because it was bought beheta, you don't have to get rid of it. Interesting, Shaila. You can have someone sitting here in Manchester where you've got kosher bread, Jewish bread, let's call it, it's all kosher. You got Jewish bread built by a yid, and he's eating his bread, which is pasakum, because he had bought it in a month that he was allowed to have it, he can keep it over. Then he comes to another interesting shayla, it happened to be last year. I was in a park, and we met up with 10 of the yidden. Some people don't want to meet up with Yidden. Sometimes he calls up the minion, you know, they find the minion, and he asks them where the minionim are, and he looks, wherever there's no minion, and that's where he goes. Far away. See, it's an amazing service. But if you're one of these people that likes Yidden, and you come to a place, and you meet 10 of the Yidden, so we met 10 of the Yidden, no one has a minion, great, let's do mincha, marif. Well, normally we know you can't do tarzit zasri. You can't do between plague. Well, not between plague and achte, okay, that section of time, you can daven mincha or marav. You can't daven mincha and marav unless you break it up between mincha and marav. It's nacht or shkia. If you're in a situation where you will not have a minion for marav or mincha unless you tarzit zasri, then we'll make it. So you meet up in a park, you meet up in a place, you're 10 years in together, you'd be allowed to daven mincha and marav, between plague and echt, and chaparayin, two tefillahs for one. I said, Sashi, normally you can't do that. Here you're allowed to do it because the situation requires that you wouldn't have a minion otherwise. Someone actually asked me, Shaili, he said he had to go to babysit. He was here in MH, he had to go to babysit. He said, can you do Tarit Sashi? Otherwise, you won't have a marav. Someone was telling me, that's a different Shaila. Because there, you've got a marav. You don't want to come to the marav. If you haven't got any other situation, there's now you've got 10 people. In an hour now, they're gone. So you do mincha marav or just mincha, you won't do marav with a minion. That's the heta. But if you've got a marriage, just you, doesn't work out for you, that may be different, if you're allowed to do your tarzit zasri in some such a situation. I was in a house this year where they had a barbecue and one of these proper, decent things that most of us only dream about, proper peace, one like you can almost climb inside and barbecue someone if you don't like him. And we wouldn't want to know, can we use it? So I wasn't there yet. The other person who was there called me up, said, you know what, we'll put on new grates, and then we'll be able to use it, no problem. The fire underneath is not a problem. You put on new grates, the food goes on the grates, no problem. So he said to me, you know, you're going past a shop, any shop, just pick up barbecue grates, and we'll put it on top. I thought, great idea. Then I realized you've got a problem. You've got a problem with Tevilas Kelim. You have to toil these grates. Now, I was going to pick up on the way out of Manchester, I wasn't going to go past any of the mikvahs. You need a sea or a kosher mayon, which is hard to know if it does qualify as a kosher mikvah always. So what do? You're stuck now. And I realized to myself, a lot of times you buy something on the way to holiday, it's not so simple. If it's metal or glass, you got a problem. Yeah, so you give it to a goy, it's not a great idea at all giving it to a goy. It's not a great idea, but that would be if a person's mamish stuck. Here on mamish stuck, you can buy a disposable barbecue. Now, a disposable barbecue, all disposals, why doesn't disposable need tevila? People make a mistake. There's no such thing as a one-time usage that doesn't need tevila. If you use something once or a million times, it's the same chiv tevila, exactly the same. A disposable item, in its entity, is so shvach, it's not a long term, it won't last. The longevity of this item is so compromised, it's not called a kli. It's not a kapal tuma, it's not a kli bichlal. It's something you use and goes in the bin, you can't give it any status as a kli. Such an item doesn't need tevila. But if you buy a knife and use it once and throw it in the bin, besides what problem baldashchis, you needed to have tabled it that first time. There's no such thing as a one-time usage. A disposable doesn't need, and it could be disposable used 1,000 times, still doesn't need because it's so shvach, it's not a kli. But something solid is a kli, use it once, it doesn't change anything. So sometimes people think, it's a disposable barbecue goes in the bin, okay, I'll buy grates and I'll use it once, it won't help you. It's going to need tevila. So brings me on to the next shayla. Someone called me up, he said he went to a house, fancy house, I should really go myself. He said everything was new. The cutlery, the crockery, the dishes, the pots, the pans, every customer gets an entire new kitchen selection. See, I know the right people, it's a good friend of mine. All new stuff. So he told me, what do I do with cashering with tevila? I said, you've got no problem. Cashering's not a problem, it's not trif, it's all brand new, all in the packets, and tevila's not a problem either. Why is tevila not a problem? It's the goy's, it's not yours. It all belongs to the goy. If the goy tells him, this is for you, if you leave after 5 minutes, you can take it with you, it may be different. They discuss on a plane. If you fly first class, like the snobs amongst us, so you get, apparently, I don't know, that's what they tell me, you get real dishes. Now that real dish, what happens to tevila? What happens to tevila? So you can say, okay, it belongs to the airline. It doesn't belong to the airline, they give it to you. And they don't want it back, it goes in the bin. Well, you keep it. Now, it's not disposable because it's solid, sorry.
You're
not coder. Oh, so then you're not coder it. I don't want it, I use it, I leave it on the plane. They can clean it up, put it in the bin. It's b'chlam on mine. Here too in this house, he came to the house, he used the stuff. Being a good Jew, he probably took it home in the end. But when he was there, he just used it because this is what the house provides. This is the service of the house. So I thought, no problem, it's the best situation. There's no tevila, there's no cashering. Off you go, use it as you like. But you come to a regular goyish house, you would have an issue. What's the issue? You go to a goyish house and there's goyish kelim there. The problem is not tevila. Again, it belongs to the goy. No problem. Problem is kashering. Brings to the next shaila. Why don't I use it cold? I want to use the glass cups, these big beer cups, the ones that you climb inside. I want to use one of those, 27 pints. I've got the match on. I'm sitting down, Tafiyomi. I need a big pint. Can I use it? So if it's cold, you're allowed to use a harah. Harah means, as a one-off, it's not, if you would use it long-term, but worried, you may come to use it for hot, which may not apply by a glass, but you don't put in hot water. So as a harah, as a one-off, a person wants to use the cup. Really, you've got disposable cups. The disposable cups are all upstairs. I want to use a cup. No problem. Cold, you'd be allowed to use a harah. So that would be no problem, and it's cold and no problem for kashering. You shouldn't really get too busy with this. People start putting out cutlery and use it as a one-off, and then all sorts of trouble arises. The best is you keep away from all their stuff. No problem. If you kasher it again, it doesn't need to be lit, it belongs to the guy, but you kasher it. But now, be cautious, no problem. Okay, then we come to different shilas, Shabbos shilas. So I was walking along in the countryside on Shabbos, and there were animals, which is very exciting, because we don't have animals here, at least not four-legged ones. So one of my kids said, pick me up, put me on the wall. And I was about to pick you up, I realized you had a problem. The minute you pick up a child and put them on the wall of anything, walk along the street here, someone's wall outside, says, let's go and stand on the wall, you've got a problem. If you don't have a place with an Eruv, you carry it. The minute there's a wall around any Rosh HaYachid, that now wall becomes Rosh HaYachid. So you pass your neighbor's house, he has a wall that's high, just over 10 tefachim. This wall is part of his house. So if you're on Shabbos in a place there's no Eruv, pick something up, put it on the wall, it could be done as Deraisa. Now the country has better, it's all drop bolons, this is not Shazarabim, but still you'd have an issue. So to pick up anything, but even a human being, and put them on the wall, a child says, pick me up, put me on the wall, would be a problem for Yitzhar on Shabbos. So you've got to watch out. That's the first thing to know. You're in a place where there's no Erev, sometimes a person using an Erev a lot. They do without an Erev, and it's so foreign to them. I met an Israeli family here about 10 years ago, before they had the Erev here. The wall on Shabbos pushing the buggy. I said, what Shabbos is mine? An Erev? I said, no, it didn't have an Erev yet. They couldn't believe it. They'll posh it. Every Jewish community has an Erev. They're there with the buggy in the middle of the road. So that's it. You've got to leave it here. With the baby. What do you do? There was a person walked out of MH here. I said this story once. He came to MH for Mincha. And this is going back about 15 years ago. He's not alive anymore. And he walked out of MH. He took his coat. And he walked up Lee Street. And the coat felt a bit strange. He looked inside. It wasn't really his. He wasn't sure. He knew in the pocket he had the label. And the label was his name. Put his hand in the pocket and pulled out £1,200. So here he is, Shabbos afternoon on Lee Street, with someone else's coat and £1,200 cash. It wasn't my coat. Now what? It's not even his money. He must be a great tzaddik. Do you know what? For Hashem, I'm going to leave the money on the floor. It's not even his money. You pay the guy back maybe after Shabbos. But you got to watch out. He was stuck. So these Israelis are walking along. They no clue, there's no Erev. Shabbos afternoon, here they were in Manchester, pushing a buggy down the road. What do you do now? There's a baby in the buggy. They're stuck. Well, you got a problem. So you got to watch out. You go to a place there's no Erev. People are just familiar with carrying. You got to be aware. And also, if you something so simple like going on the wall, putting a child on the wall, is already going to be a problem of a malach on Shabbos. Yeah, it brings it down to the drabonons. You'll have a few drabonons, but you still got. If the child's stuck, it's drabonon, mokum tzayib, even mekel, to bring him back down off the wall. But to put him up in the first place, you'll have to manage without, because it could be, not always, depends on the situation. It's a narrow lane, it could be in Shus Yochid anyway, but you gotta watch out.
Better hide the wall as well.
Sorry?
Yeah, it comes to have the wall.
Again, you get into different complications. The best is you leave everyone down on the floor on their own two legs. Once you pick people up and start moving them around, it could be a problem. There's a fence, you want to start climbing over the fence. You want to go into a field of Shabbos, climb over the fence, put them on the fence. It could be already an issue, depends on how high you lift them. You got to always watch it. Talking about a fence, last year I was walking through a field on Shabbos. And one of my kids said to me a good point, I think we mentioned this in the evening already, in the end of the day. He said to me, how do you close the gate? You open the gate, all the animals are open, beds, and they can run out. You walk inside, close the gate behind you, could be tzad. I didn't even think of it. I was like, you're right, what did you know? Sorry?
What you
know? Tzad, you're trapping the animals. So it's not so simple, because if it's been anybody been inside, or if it's animals which are domesticated, they're not running away. Very often, the Mechaber says are cows. Cows don't run away. Well, it depends who's around them. Sometimes, my kids were around, they were running away, but normally cows, you can touch them, a horse you can touch. They're very friendly animals, there's no tzad. Sheep are maybe a little bit worse. They are afraid of human beings if they're not familiar with them. But again, if they are familiar with the owner, it probably wouldn't be tzad. It often wouldn't be tzad. But you got to watch out. Sometimes there's different animals there which are afraid of humans. You open the gate, they're free to go. And now you close the gate, it could be tzad. The simple solution is, you open the gate just the width of your body, walk inside, slide it closed behind you, and the chabah brings it down in the Shabbos. And then you haven't got a problem, because when the gate was open, it was blocked by your body. No problem with tzad.
Even if it was closed before you opened it?
Yeah, you opened it with your body there. So they were never free to go.
They were always closed already, so it was a ready trap.
Yeah, the ready trap. But now you opened it, and now you created a new tzad. Yeah. The fact they were trapped. Shacharav talks about where you got a deer in a house. There's one guy there, and he wants to go. He needs to go to Aram Mincha. So the next guy comes and slides along, and that way you never opened up completely. You avoid the Shail of Zod. But you should watch out. You go to a place in the countryside where you walk through a field. And be a problem Zod. And the next Shail of Zod is to put someone over the fence. You want to climb over the fence, you pick him up, put him over the fence. You, Mr. Strong Guy, Mr. Nice Guy, could be a problem on Shabbos of Hitzah, going from Rishus to Rishus. Another Shail someone had. Also last year, caught for Shabbos, he was very worried. He had two houses, he was in one house, his son-in-law was in another house, and he wanted to know what about Eiv Chatzeres. So I told him very simple, if you're eating together, which is what they were doing, there's no Eiv Chatzeres, you take bread, pass, matzahs, whatever it is, and you make it as a joint meal. But if you are eating together, that is your meal, you don't need an Eiv. You need an Eiv around. I mean, you don't need the pass, the bread, used to make an Eiv. They're in an enclosed area, but two families, two yidden together, have to join up with the Eiv Chatzeres. You don't need a Chatzeres if you're eating together. So he was very worried for Shabbos, he didn't have any matzahs, no yichalas. He told me he didn't know what to do, he didn't know the broch. I said, 1 second, eat it together. I said, yeah, sorted, no problem at all.
What about the other way, if you want to go to his house?
No, not Eiv Tchumen, Eiv Chatzeres.
I'm saying, but if you're eating in the other house...
It doesn't matter, once you're linked, you can both go to either. You're one family, you're one group. Eiv Tchumen is another thing. You don't also watch out for the Eiv. Someone actually had a very complicated Eiv this year in his garden. It was open to the owner, and then he had the problem. So you got to watch out. Nowadays it's easier. You take a video, you can send it to someone and ask them what to do. But you got to watch out. With stamina Eiv in your garden, it's not always so simple. You want to carry outside on Shabbos. I was in a house a while back, and we went around the garden for Shabbos. It was a big garden, and there was trees, and it was broken. There was a trampoline half fallen down right at the back. When we moved everything away, we realized there was not a kosher Eiv. So I called the Yidin who were before me. There was a very nice person before me, a kosher Yid. I said, what do you about the garden? He said, no, it's enclosed. You look around, you'll see it's fully enclosed. I want to tell him the bad news. It was not enclosed at all. So you've got to watch out properly. You come to a place, and yeah, for sure, and you have a stream going through sometimes, if you get a fancy place. And all these things create different shilas in regard to carrying on Shabbos. You have to always watch out. It's not so simple. Another interesting shilas which happens every year, people call up, they want to know what to do. They go away on holiday, and they've got either electric hob, or they've got some other setup. They want to do about a blech. Now, the first thing to know about blech is that usually you don't need the blech. When you have food which is fully cooked, or even not fully cooked, mach ben drusoi, me'ikatin, you don't need the blech. The Be'alach says it's good to have a blech, b'choysha the shitta, but la'alach al-mais, you don't need the blech. The problem is, if you do chazara, again, you need the blech. You have chalant Friday night, you're a chalant Friday night guy, you take off the chalant, put it back on, you've got a problem with that blech. If you put it back on, not be over an issa, but that chalant is not also to eat. You've just made the chalant osa, you can't eat it. You may need to cash the pot. It's issa, the food's are issa. May need to. So you've got to watch out, not do chazara without a blech. But if you're not doing chazara, we want to have chalant Friday night, put two pots on, a Friday night chalant, a Shabbos morning chalant. You're not doing chazara. The food is malchub and rusoy or more. You don't need the blech on Shabbos. You can leave it all on the flame or on the element, whatever you're using, no problem. Sometimes people have complicated setup, they don't use the goyish one, they bring their own one, and you can't make a blech. No problem, you don't need a blech. It's a good to always have a blech. Take a good melach, Shana Be'alach is toiv. It's good to always have a blech. For me'ika adin, as long as the ma'ach ben drusoy, it's like half cooked, and you're not doing chazara, no problem. Food goes on without a blech. Someone here actually asked me one year, he's not here now actually, usually here, he wanted to make a barbecue Friday night. Pretty good idea. He had a disposable barbecue, it was in Greece, and he wanted to have, wasn't this year, so you can't guess who it is, and he wanted to have a barbecue Friday night, no problem, put the food on. Now he's not no minions, he's definitely married. How long does a marriage take when you're on your own? Not long enough. And then the food will be ready, great. You can have his fresh lamb, steak, veal, duck, rib, whatever you want, on his barbecue, gorgeous. What's the problem? The problem is the barbecue is mamish to what Chazal were talking about. That's the open flame. So he told me I put a blech. I said, a blech, you'll kill your whole barbecue. There's no point in that. If that's what you're doing, then you don't need to have a barbecue. So I told him very simple. Put it on beforehand. Make sure it's machal ben drusoy or more. That means it's kishmak. It's roi la'achila al-idea t'chak. It's mostly done, or all done. As we said, your marav, how long is your marav going to take? Mamash with achsid shemarav. Take you how long already? No day that long. And then take the stuff off. You're good to go. You can eat your food, no problem. So he told me that's what he did. And then after Shabbos, after he came back, amen. So what happened was, he was middle of marav, and a goy came past. And the guy said to him, no, you're doing all wrong. And he couldn't talk in Mishma and Esra. And the guy took it off, arranged the coals, put it back on. Now he had a problem with Bishalakim as well. And the whole thing was a disaster. So he told me, Baruch Hashem, he had loads and loads of gefilte fish. And that was his meal Friday night. So you got to watch out with these interesting scenarios, what you're doing. Often another shaila is, people call up for Shabbos, and we're on holiday, and I've got no wine or grape juice, or it's smashed. Often it can smash. What do I do? So the best answer is, if it's not just for Shabbos, the single best answer is, off you to the shop, buy grapes, and off you go. Take your socks off, and you make yourself wine. You start jumping, you can squeeze them however you like. That's the best. You got to watch out when you do it. You need a lot of grapes. How many grapes do you think you need? No, you're going to need more. But that'll be the breast. The Mishnah says, Adam Asher Shalalovim, Makat Shalalovim, it's Mamash the Mishnah. You take the grapes, you squeeze it out, and fresh grape juice. You ought to do it quite close to Shabbos. It goes off quite fast. Keep it in the fridge. And that's the best. No problems at all. You can make a goffin the holidays on this grape juice, because a grape juice that's not been treated is for sure going to be a goffin. No problem at all. If you can't get your grapes, you end up with Shalas and making Kitchen Challah and Chama Medina, which are very, very difficult shailas to know exactly when, yeah, when not. So if it does happen, you have to check up the circumstances you've got. If you've got one reverse, someone went one day had just a reverse, what to do, and you can add to it if it's the right consistency. But you've got to watch out. The best is, for sure, bring with your own wine and grape juice. If not, you get your grapes, squeeze them out. It doesn't taste amazing, but that's going to be your best situation when you're stuck. So that's me this year. He's got a hot tub on Shabbos. What's the halacha with a hot tub on Shabbos? So we spoke about Rechitza a few weeks ago here. Any hot is going to be awesome. Fine, he'll make it a cold tub. Jump into the cold tub. What's the halacha in a cold tub on Shabbos? Or a cold paddling pool? Right? Someone actually asked me, he wanted to make a kiddush, it was in the summer. And he said to me, he had two ideas for the kiddush. A lot of people come, and now these kiddush get fancier and fancier. It comes to a point where you hit the glass ceiling. How fancy can you make a kiddush? So he told me he's going to make special two features. He's going to have outside a bouncing castle. You put on the boat on time switch. And next to it, a paddling pool. It was a hot day. The kids can all jump with supply trunks and then swimming costumes. So what's the luck with this on Shabbos? You're wondering who it was. You want to go to the kiddush now. No, this paddling pool is only for children. Sorry. So you want to know, can he do it on Shabbos? Can you have this paddling pool Shabbos? So it's not so simple. Rechitza in cold, be'etzem zmuta. However, the Maharam brings down from the Maril, from Sedesh, and we're showing him that the minhag is not even to wash in cold on Shabbos. So this guy wants to put his kids in the cold tub. I don't know where he was. Certainly not in England this year, where he wouldn't go in a cold tub in Shabbos last week or the week before. He's probably in a hot place. Can you do it? The answer is usually no. Because cold, there's a minhag not to go in. Someone's management, that'd be okay. But in a normal circumstance, water on Shabbos, whether it's a paddling pool, or a swimming pool, or a hot tub, or a cold tub, or a sauna, whatever you've got, normally you lock it up for the whole Shabbos, and that is it. Because all these things, even cold, we don't do, unless it's a person's mitzvah, we don't do these things on Shabbos. Finally, to end off one interesting shaila, which I saw a person discuss, can you, again, not again in England, b'chlal, can you tan, sit there in the sun, getting a tan on Shabbos? I don't know if you know, but in some countries they have sun. It's a new idea. It's this big thing that makes it very hot and there's no rain. Unbelievable. Can you tan on Shabbos? What's the problem? Severe. You're changing the color of your skin from light to dark. Is it severe on Shabbos? Actually, interesting enough, the Minchas Yisroel has a chuv on it. I assume he already wants to go to Eretz Yisroel because Manchester wasn't a ger. But he has a chuv on it which discusses, is it severe on Shabbos? So it's good to know that. We're not going to discuss what the halach is, but it's good to be aware of it. If a person's just relaxing out there in the sun, and he's not machaven for the tan, if I get a tan, I don't mind, that's for sure okay. When a person goes out and wants to tan, and worse, if he puts in oils or stuff, which is no problem, but he does it in a way, it's okay, but he's deliberately trying to achieve a tan on Shabbos, there may be an issue today. We talk about this as well, coming up now in a few weeks. You've got an esrog, which is very green, what do? Put it next to apples, it turns yellow. First day, Yom Tov and Eshrik is not good. I want to go to the second day. I put it next to apples. Is it severe? I'm changing the color of my Eshrik on Yom Tov or Shabbos. Is it an issue? Again, we're going to discuss that. Allah for myself, but it's good to be aware of it. Yeah.
Hold on, please.